At this hour, Queens Medical Center is marking the 50th anniversary of the very first organ transplant performed here in Hawaii. Doctors who performed that surgery and some of the early transplant patients are gathering to acknowledge how far we as a community has come. Now, the Legacy of Life group is a group that was born out of the need to raise awareness about the gift of life through the organ donor program. We sat down yesterday afternoon with Director Felicia Wells-Williams and new transplant recipient Sean Keone Craig to talk about his recent surgery, not just a kidney transplant, but two lungs as well.
We couldn't be more thrilled to celebrate such a significant milestone for our community, the lives that are saved because of transplant, but also the families that are healed by being able to give the gift of life. That's such a gift of hope for them. So really the intertwining of these two very critical miracles, donor families and transplant recipients. There are so many like families that come to mind, stories that I have been touched by, transplant recipients whose lives have been saved, and then the way they've gone out into the community to share their story, to support other transplant recipients, to encourage other families to consider donation. It's really a circle of life.
And Keone, share your story with our listeners.
Wow, where do I begin? I was actually diagnosed with a terminal lung disease back in December of 2015. It's called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And once you get diagnosed with that particular disease, they tell you you usually have about 2 to 5 years to live. And the only real cure, if anything at all, is an actual transplant. So, you know, I was able to live my life normally, was pretty stable throughout the 2.5 years or so. And then this past September, a friend of mine decided, let's go celebrate my birthday up at my favorite place, which is Disneyland. And so we went to Disneyland just for the day, and well, for a couple of days. But the second day that we got there, I started to feel really tired, very lethargic. And long story short, oxygen levels dropped. Told my friend, we have to get to a hospital right away. Ran me down to UC Irvine, which was literally 5 minutes from the hotel that we're staying at. And stayed there for about 5 days, and my health progressively got worse. At first, they thought they stabilized me. And then by the fourth day, things started to plummet. And by the fifth day, that's when things got really bad, to the point that I actually flatlined a couple times.
Oh,
and
goodness.
At that point, my organs had basically given up. And the doctors there were telling my family and friends, look, here's the deal. You can either make him comfortable, give him morphine, and maybe make the phone calls you need to make and have your family and friends come here to say their goodbyes, or we can keep trying to revive him. And my family and friends who were there said, no, you got to keep going. This guy's a fighter. You don't understand. He's been waiting for a transplant, and we have to get him healthy enough to get there.
So how long ago was that?
This was just in September of last year. So I was there, like I said, from September 12th. On the 17th is when everything kind of happened. And my family and my friends reached out to my doctors here in Hawaii. And they got on the phone with UCLA as well as UCSD and to see if they would be able to take me in. My pulmonologist here, Dr. Crawley, knew that there was a particular machine that they could put me on called an ECMO. And the ECMO machine is kind of like a dialysis machine where what it does is when they hook it up to you, it allows your blood to be processed outside of your body through this machine that actually oxygenates and keeps you going, basically. So he knew that UCSD and UCLA had that capability. And with the help of the doctors at UC Irvine, reached out to both of those hospitals. And UCLA, within about an hour and a half, reached back and said, we'll take them. And fast forward to that, they came down around 11 o'clock at night that evening, performed an emergency surgery to hook me up to the machine. In my hospital room, mind you, because I was too weak to actually be transported down to the OR. And that night, they just transferred me up to UCLA and told my family and friends, okay, here's where we're going to keep them. The goal is to get them as healthy as possible. We still, at that point, they didn't know if I'd qualify for a transplant because of the fact that my heart and my lungs and at that point, my kidneys started to kind of give out as well. And there was a team at UCLA and the love of family and friends that kept me motivated. And fast forward, October 7th, being in the hospital for as long as I had, I got the phone call from my doctors there saying that they had put me on the transplant list. So in other words, I'd gotten healthy enough to be put on that list. And because I was apparently very critical, I was at the top of the list. So they told me that the very next available organs would be mine. But because of my blood type and my body type and all of that, of course, it's still a waiting game. So they explained to me saying, you know, you could be here weeks, months, maybe even up to a year or so. And until we know for sure that it's the right fit, we can't guarantee you a transplant.
So how long did you have to wait?
Well, here's the miracle. 18 days later, I got the call. So as I was lying in my hospital bed, our floor physician came up to me basically with tears in her eyes holding her cell phone, and she told me, I have a phone call for you. And at first I thought something had happened to one of my family members, you know, because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why would she be crying, and, you know, what's going on? And the nurses were very quiet. Nobody was telling me anything. So in the room with me at that time was my niece, Lindsay, and her husband, Ryan. And they were both looking up at me like, what's going on? And I thought, well, if there was a family emergency, my niece would know. Someone would have called her, or they would have tried to call my cell phone. So when I got on the phone, they both walked out of the room with the doctor. And apparently that's when she told him what was going on. And as I answered the phone, it was the transplant coordinators telling me, hey, we have a possible match for you. And so we're looking at scheduling for surgery today at 4:30. We're going to have to make sure, make sure those lungs and the kidneys are going to be what we need, that they're going to be well enough to transplant into you, and we'll let you know. Well, about 2:30, they called me back and said, yeah, we're postponing your transplant until about midnight or so, which I thought, okay, whatever it takes. And then sure enough, at midnight, they came to get me, prepped me for a surgery, took me downstairs. And while I was waiting in the hallway of the OR, that's when I heard the surgeon, Dr. Aradahalli, on his phone. And they were at that point checking out the organs to make sure that they were good. And all I heard him say was, okay, how are the lungs? Pristine? Okay, what about the kidney? Awesome. We're going in.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a blessing that I had received my transplant just only 18 days after being put on the list, you know?
So explain to me. So then they did all the organs at one time?
So what they did was they did the two lungs first, and then I went upstairs for about an hour and a half or so to rest, and then they brought me right back down. Once they knew that the lungs were working well, they brought me right back down to the kidney. And what is a huge blessing is that I was told later that this was the very first surgery of this type that UCLA had ever done. And Dr. Aradahalli was sort of at the forefront of this, where he truly believed that he could do it, along with the help of his other nephrologists there. And he felt I was healthy enough to do so. And sure enough, I mean, I made it through the surgery, and I'm doing well now. And again, it's a miracle, honestly.
Wow, what a story. I mean, you probably come across so many like this with your work at Legacy of Life.
Well, I think what's so inspiring about Keone's story is just that reminder that the families that we meet, that's the difference they can make in the life of someone else. You know, our donor families are dealing with the sudden death of their own loved one, and they meet a member of our team, and we share this possibility for donation. But when they hear a story like Keone, and they know people in our community are touched by donation, touched by those gifts, it's so powerful.
And knowing what you know now, too, about our history and the fact that we did, I think, the first kidney transplant here mm-hmm. in Queens, and to think that you had a shot at life again, thanks to someone's generous gift of life, really.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's really ironic because the entire time that I was in the hospital, I never had a doubt that I was going to get a transplant. It kind of like I just had this positive energy around me and just positive thoughts. But I always kept thinking about my potential donor, thinking, who could this be and where's this person going to come from? And again, as the doctors explained to me, that it's literally like fitting the right jigsaw puzzle pieces together, because it has to be a perfect fit. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to do it. So I remember that very moment when Dr. Aradahalli had said the words pristine and I was going in. I thought to myself, wow, what a blessing. But more so, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my gosh, this poor family who just lost their loved one. And yet they're giving me this opportunity to, like you said, have a second chance at life. And so I remember about a few days after I came out of the surgery, you know, just lying in my bed and, you know, trying to get me healthy and stuff. And I remember just taking this really deep breath, and it was the first time I could do so in so long. And the first person that came to mind was my donor. Like, I'm now a living piece of their family's loved one. And if it wasn't for them and this donor to make this decision to give me the second chance at life, and mind you, not just one lung, but two lungs, and not just two lungs, but also a kidney, I mean, it's amazing. And I know that every single day I'm blessed by this. And so when I wake up every morning, I take a deep breath and I thank, you know, Kiakua for the blessings he's given me, and, you know, the medical teams that I had, and my family and friends for the love and support. But I always, always, always thank my donor family.
And you're paying it forward by sharing your story.
Well, you know, that's part of what I realize is my kuleana now, is that my kuleana is to go out there and just be an advocate for others, not only for the disease that I once had, but also for transplantation, which is why I contacted Legacy of Life a couple weeks ago. And Told them my story. They actually knew about me, apparently, because there was an article in the Star Advertiser back in February about my story and what I'd gone through. And they were kind of anxiously waiting to meet me, which is when I got to speak to Nancy, and she introduced me to everybody there, the entire family Legacy of Life. And like I told them, you know, whatever I can do to help spread my story or to share my story and to help others with making that decision of donating their organs is what I really want to do.
So when you come across stories like this, you know that really you're sharing hope.
Absolutely. You know, so many of the families who say yes to donation will never have an opportunity to meet the person that received their loved one's organs. So when someone like Keone is willing to share their story, even though he may not be speaking always to his exact donor family, his story touches donor families. When we meet families in the hospital, they don't often realize it. It's so rare that we're even in a position to offer the option of donation to a family. It may be one time this week, it may be just over a few weeks before we have an opportunity to actually offer donation to a family. So when families as a community hear the difference a donation can make, it only just improves outcomes overall, that families are more willing to say yes because they understand it makes a difference. And then lives like Keone are saved. And think about what he's doing for his community by playing it forward, just as you said, pay it forward.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
That was lung and kidney transplant recipient Sean Keone Craig and Legacy of Life's Felicia Wells Williams. You know, we should note there are more than 400 people in Hawaii on the organ donor wait list.